I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. So this week we've got the lovely Peter Andre on. Welcome back, Mr. Andre. And we are looking at The Secret of Surviving Scrutiny. Of course, I've had a little bit of an experience of that in my life, so has Peter, but I don't care what walk of life you come from, everybody at one point or another in their life has experienced scrutiny. Right. We are going to ask him now about his secret to surviving scrutiny, which sounds super deep, Pete. So I hope you don't feel put off by that.
No.
You seem like a pretty honest man, pretty open fella.
I think I'm one of the lucky ones that survived the era pre-social media, right?
Oh my God,
so,
yeah.
Because then we had all that time to get out, to toughen up, basically, because... scrutiny when we so back when we started in I got signed in 1990, I remember if someone said something bad about you, and it was, say, I don't know, in the newspaper, for example, that would be there for a whole week. I remember a headline back then used to last for a whole week. If something was on, say, The Sun on Sunday or News of the World at the time, that would be the headline that everyone would talk about for the week. Whereas now, let's fast forward, you can have three headlines in a day as the main story on the Mail. It could be four headlines, right? But back then, when I first started out, I couldn't take scrutiny at all. When people would say you're shit or you're this or you're crap or whatever they would say, or, you know, it used to really hurt, because I used to think, well, what have I done to make you think that? You know, you start questioning yourself, and, you know, they'd say, oh, those abs weren't real, and we know that you've had surgery. This is before you could get surgery for them.
Oh my God.
Damn it. I wish I did now. No, but it was like, you know, you're so fake and this. And we used to get all that because that was just normal. You know, people back then, there was not many people doing pop music like that. So I think it was, you had like the greats, which were the Jacksons and Madonna and Prince and that, but they were just mega stars. They were a different level. And then you had this kind of, in Australia at the time, it was rock based. So I kind of broke a mold and came out with pop music. And so this is all before I came to England and doing, having abs in video. And so it had a lot of praise and followers, but it had a lot of hatred as well, which I can understand when I look back and think, I probably would have thought the same thing. Had I seen someone with his shirt off all the time, I'd be like, who's this tosser? You know, like, what's he doing? And yet I was that guy, and I thought, so I couldn't understand why people were so mean. But over the years, you hear it so many times from one side of the fence, and then you hear all the positive side from the other side of the fence. And eventually you get thick skin to that, and you get kind of humbled by that. And it just somehow, I started to really be able to deal with it. Then social media came out.
Oh God. And that was a fresh wave of hell.
It was the worst, especially Twitter, right? So I went through a stage where at the start of Twitter, and I remember I was one of the first, not one of the first in the UK, but I remember someone in the industry, I was one of the first to have it, because I was in America in 1990-something, and Perez Hilton, remember him?
Yeah, I do remember him. He's a Big Brother, right?
Yeah, but way before that, he had a blog called... well, it was Perez Hilton, his blog, and he said to me, hey, have you ever tried this thing called Twitter? And I'm like, no. And he said, man, you've got to get on it. It's the coolest thing. And so I said, well, how do I do it? And he said, I'll set you up an account now. So he went on in America.
No, stop it. He set up your Twitter account.
Follow this guy. Yeah, and I had like thousands of followers instantly because of him. They didn't even know who I was in America. They're like, we don't know who this guy is, but we're going to follow him because Perez said so. So that was that. My American accent shit. Anyway.
No, I like it.
And then it started. Then yeah. I started getting followers, and then people started being evil on Twitter. I'd never experienced anything like it because, of course, I couldn't see them this time.
Yeah.
So back in the day when people would say something to your face, you know, you could get hurt, but you'd kind of be over it or you whatever. But this was different. And like you said, it was a new wave of hell. And mm-hmm. for ages, it affected me so much until the day I realized, which I was way too late, that you could block someone. I didn't even know that existed, man. I did not know that you could block someone. So I'm here getting abuse and torment and... Then someone said, yeah, but you can block them. So I'd block someone, and then there would still be reposts coming from other people of the same person. So then I realized, why don't I block them?
Yeah.
And before I knew it, there was only about 30 people that were actually being mean out of thousands.
Exactly.
And eventually I wasn't getting negative comments anymore. And I thought, oh my God. So now if I read anything on social media, even remotely negative, I'm just like, I just block it. I don't even want to read it.
You've got to.
Yeah, because why do I want that negativity in my life? It's brutal. But I think I'm okay with it now. If someone says something, I'm like, hey, he's had a bad day. Get over it. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
I think that's, honestly, Pete, like, that is a really mature way of looking at it. And it's obviously taking you a while to get there because I'm the same. I do think, like, there's an amalgamation of things that make dealing with scrutiny and criticism easier. I do think getting older helps.
Yeah,
do you know
what
I mean? It just helps, mate. Like, we are so less fazed by the things that used to torment us in our 20s. I also think being really happy in your personal life, I think that plays a huge part. Like, when I'm sitting snuggling my lovely looking fella and we're watching a film in my nice apartment, it's very hard for me to get really, really worked up about what Sandra from Workington has to say. Do you know what I mean?
She might have a point, but we're not really interested right now.
Let me be, Sandra. I'm fucking happy, right? And I think the final thing that sort of I've really learned is a good way is just, why on earth are we letting these people who we wouldn't take advice from give us criticism? I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what, though, Vicky? There's been the odd time when someone said something and I've happened to read it on a comment, because I always say to myself, don't read anything negative. If a word comes up like, I don't like, bang, just get rid, because otherwise don't finish the sentence because it'll dwell on your mind. But there's the odd time where someone said something to me and I read it and I thought, I can't believe I did it, but I thought, man, they actually got a point. And I actually did something about it. And so there's the odd time where I actually go, yeah, okay, fair enough. Like, someone says, Pete, no one actually gives a shit what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, he's right. No one was giving a shit about what I was talking about. And I was so passionate about something. Mm. And I thought, I don't need to tell everyone. I'll just keep it to myself next time. And it was a lesson I learned for me. Doesn't always work like that, though, because sometimes people are critical without a reason. They just want to be critical because they're behind their keyboard and they're like, let's just make this person feel like shit. But actually, there's the odd occasion someone will say something and I'll go, yeah, all right, actually not bad. I'll do that. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And also, I mean, it's not easy for you to admit, because more often than not, I think people on social media in particular are kind of committed to misunderstanding you. Like, I know myself, if I go on social media, I'm going to leave like nice comments, like looking good here, or like, oh God, like, can't wait to see you. I'm going to put loads of love heart faces. Like, I wonder what type of person it is to write something nasty and negative. And I think they're not going to be the type of person that's going to be reasoned with other. So
no, right.
I try not to, but every so often, like you say, one comes along And I remember myself, I think I had a bit of an epiphany moment. Some woman wrote underneath the Instagram, she was like, I follow you, Vicky, because I thought you were great in the jungle, because I thought you were an excellent role model for you, for me girls, because you were very honest and refreshingly real on social media. And now I just, you've posted loads of pictures with you when you're edited and when you're glamorous. And don't get us wrong, you look lovely, but it would be nice to see the real you again as well. And I thought, oh my God. Like, there's nothing malicious there. There's nothing nasty there. She's digging us out in a way, but she's fair. And it made me sit up and take notice.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what, actually, Vicky, you're one of the people, I remember meeting you and telling you one of the first times I said, I love your Instagram posts. I love them. They're so funny and they're so real. And you actually said something to me, and I will never forget this, and it actually made me change a little bit of the way I did it on Instagram. And that was from you, and you don't even realize it. But you said something like, yeah, no, you said a good, great thing to me. You said, you know what it is, Pete? You said, sometimes people don't, they want to see you look crap in the morning. They want to, I remember you said that to me, remember? You said, do you remember our combo?
Yeah,
and you said, you know, everyone knows that.
I said, everyone knows you're fit. Everyone knows you've got a lush wife. Everyone knows your kids are gorgeous. I say, sometimes we just want to see you sweating your tits off after a workout.
That's exactly right. And do you know what? Funny enough, you said something like that. And I remember I said, do you know what? She's got a bloody good point. And I actually, from that moment, without you realizing, I slightly changed. I started being a bit more, didn't really care if there was something, I'd be like, oh, you can't post that. I'd be like, oh, I don't care. And actually that came from you. So that is, that's, am I now the top of your list or still?
You're still the top, but I actually can't believe I trolled Peter Andre to his face.
No, you were brilliant. You were so spot on. You said, just because I said to you, why are you so good on Instagram? I remember asking you, I said, what is it that you do that makes me laugh so much? And you said, because I'll wake up sometimes and I'll put a double chin on it and I'll just shove it on Instagram. and you made me realise. I was like, yeah, she's good. Still going to put a couple of ab shots if I can, though, just to try and balance it out a bit.
Give the people what they really want, Pete. I'm coming to your page for abs all day.
Let's go.
All know that.
Let's go.
Over the years.
By the way, you don't have a double chin. What I'm saying is, flipping egg, that could have gone completely wrong. I just realised.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I do. I sometimes look like a thumb with my glasses like on social. Yeah.
I love those. Love it.
One of the things I love so much about you, and I promise I will stop fangirling after this one thing.
I like it.
Is for a man, I think in this industry, and in fact, just in society in general, it sometimes can be super hard to show any sort of vulnerability, any sort of emotion and authenticity, because I think it's sort of drummed into boys as from a young age that they should be tough and stoic and resilient. Well, actually, like, it's such an outdated look at it, and I much prefer my men to be emotionally stable and in depth with their personal side and their feminine side and stuff. And it's why I love when you have ever struggled in life with your mental health or family issues, you've been really open about it. And I just want to proper pat you on the back for that, Pete, because it's not easy. I know it's not.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. And that took a lot of time because I was brought up in that real strict household where, you know, you don't show weakness and all that. And I did what a lot of guys do. We think we're tough by not showing what we're feeling and what it's actually making us is weak. Okay. And so the only way I found strength was when I eventually, so I went into therapy for a lot of my problems earlier, like my anxiety and depression and all that. And it was at that moment when I started talking that I started to feel better. And I thought, well, the only way I'm going to feel better is if I talk about it. And then I didn't realize that that actually was, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy that I became stronger by showing my weakness. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think it does. It, like, if you show that vulnerable side of you and let people in, honestly, every time I've done it on social media, the support I've received has been overwhelming. I know you're a busy man and I know you've got a house full of children who need you. So I'm going to ask you two last questions, then I promise you can go. Number one, right? What is the toughest thing you have ever seen written about you? What's been the hardest thing to digest?
Oh, hands down, that I was dead. Now, this one was tough.
Just imagine,
right? Yeah, I know, I swear to God, right?
No.
So I swear, there is nothing worse than waking up to news that you're dead. Because then you start thinking, shit, am I dead? And I'm like dreaming that I'm alive, reading that I'm dead, right? That was me. So what happened was I had meningitis. It was about 2000, could have been about 2005 or 2006. I had meningitis, right? And I was really sick. And I was in the hospital in East Surrey, where, which is not far from here, funny enough. And I wasn't even living in this area. But anyway, that's where I ended up. Who cares, right? Anyway, so I'm in there and I'm getting worse. And they're doing lumbar punctures and I'm getting worse. And I'm going in and out of consciousness. I remember this. And so my mum was ringing me from Australia and she got on a plane and came over and my dad couldn't come. And I was on the phone to them every day. And I fell asleep one night and I was actually... I fell asleep feeling great. And I woke up the next morning and literally my phone, and they weren't iPhones then. I know, it's so old school. They weren't iPhones, even in early 2000s. I don't know what it was. But I had message after message going, please, God, let this not be true. Please message me back. Tell me you're okay. So I thought, what's going on, right? And then I got a message. Someone came in and said, you might want to look at the front page of this newspaper. And I went, what? And I thought it was something about someone else. And then it said, Andre dies from brain bug, right? And I was like, man, I literally was spinning because could you imagine reading that thinking, am I dead? That's what I thought. Am I dead? And then I thought, maybe they know something I don't know and this is going the wrong way. I was freaking out. But anyway, I wasn't. And then, and I'm not.
So pleased about it, Pete. No, honestly, I'm really thrilled. I cannot believe that. Not in my wildest dreams did I think you were going to say that.
It's weird.
Nah, I mean, hats off to you. That's pretty bad scrutiny to survive that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad because someone said, you must be a popular fella because you're on the front page of the newspaper. I'm thinking, that's not the point. I'm dead.
Shit. Well, I, for one, am really thrilled it was just a dream.
Well, we wouldn't have been able to do this today if I was dead.
Would have been a shame. Before I let you go, properly, mate, you have survived your fair share of media scrutiny. You've had highs and lows within this industry. But for me, you have always dealt with it with grace and dignity. And look at you now. You've proper come out on top, mate. Beautiful wife, gorgeous family, fantastic career. If you had to give somebody your secret to surviving scrutiny, what would it be?
That is a bloody good question.
Putting you on the spot now, Pete.
I think my dad said something really good to me years ago and really poignant, because he said to me, you could be a savior. Even there's even gods that some people like and don't like. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, there were people that say, oh, I hate Elvis. I mean, how could you hate Elvis? Or there's people that didn't like Madonna, or people that are worshipped, you know, for example. So dad said to me, no matter who you are, no matter what you do in life, no matter whether you're a god or an icon or a doctor or whatever you are, right? Yeah. He said, there will always be people that don't like you. And when you actually think of that and think there isn't one person in the world, not even one, not even a God is a classic example, you know, where some people will like a God and other people will be like, that's not the God, this is the right God. And so you will never please everybody. And when you actually get that through your head and think, but it doesn't matter what I say or do, there's going to be someone that's going to go, you are shit, and you've got to accept it. If you just know it, then you think, well, yeah, but it was never going to appeal to you anyway, so don't worry about it. That's how I how I feel it.
You're never going to please everybody.
No, never.
That's the perfect way to look at it.
Well, you're not. You know, you're not. I mean, I know I'm going to ramble on now, so I won't. But you know my point, yeah?
God, I do. I love it. I love that it was come from your dad. That's so nice.
Oh, he's awesome.
Papa Andre. Oh, Pete, thank you so much.
He looks like a koala.
Does he? Stop it. They're my favourite.
He looks like a koala. I swear. I wish I could show you a picture. But then just go on Google and look for koala and you'll see.
Oh my God, I love that so much. And it was such a lovely message to give everybody.
Thank you. And I'm so glad we got to speak. And I'm sorry I'm on daddy duty. I've got to go. I can
daddy
hear
patrol.
It.
Don't you worry about it, mate. Thank you for spending some time with us. You're amazing, Pete. You're my favourite pop star ever.
Hey, I got there at the end. Yes. Love you, mate. I do. You know I love you.
Love you, Pete. Thank you so much.
Well, guys, that is unfortunately the end of the podcast for this week, and it's been one of my favourites. Peter Andre, the man, the myth, the abs, the legend, and not to mention my wonderful mummy bear. So thank you both for coming on. You guys were amazing, and thank you to everybody who listened. As always, guys, if you are enjoying it, please subscribe, leave a review, tell your mates. I mean, there's something for everyone in this week, so tell your mum, tell your postman, tell everybody. We've added a new little feature this week just because we want to make sure we're getting the best out of this podcast and giving you guys exactly what you want at home. So if you have any thoughts, any little notes to add, any scrutinies to give me, I can take it, I'm a big girl, then please email in at vickypattersonpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Love you so much, I can't wait to hear from you. See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.